Hello, everybody, and welcome to another potentially abbreviated episode of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at Believe Network. Guys, the holiday season is off and running with the NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info with up-to-the-minute sports wagering odds, trends, predictions. BetOnline is a top spot for everything pro and amateur sports, and not just the Big Four. BetOnline has the... Okay, I'll slow down. I was trying to see how fast I could do it.
You're cruising.
And not just the Big Four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that's played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today, and remember to use our promo code, I'll slow down for this part, BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts December 1st, where this podcast starts. John, football, basketball, what are we doing here? It's episode number 2 of this week.
This is my favorite part of probably any of our pods is when we go through the National and Big Ten results. So let's just jump right in.
All right, let's do it.
I made a mistake. I'm putting my hand up. I called the Texas Tech game an OPE game, and Texas beat Texas Tech 57-7. I've never been more wrong about an OPE game in my life.
Texas, turns out OPE was only applied to you.
Dude, Texas is the real deal, baby. That's a playoff team, dude.
Well,
they're right there. I mean,
they're in the conversation, no question.
I mean, they are making that's a statement, and that's a statement to the committee. And good on them. They have an amazing resume. So we'll talk about the scenarios in a bit. I was just shocked that they won by 50. Like, that's tough. Oregon takes down the Jonathan Smith-led Oregon State Beavers 31-7. Our boy was a little distracted. That's what we're going to tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. The Ducks, they're right there. They're in the conversation too.
Bonus. Essentially the first playoff game of the season comes this week in the Pac-12 championship, thanks to Oregon winning this one. Win and you're in. Bo Nix, Heisman contender, see you in New York, like I've long said.
It's an Elite Eight game. Kentucky takes down Louisville 38-31, only relevant because Louisville's outside chance of making the playoffs are dashed. Only 7 teams remain for the 4 contending spots. I mean, that's about on brand. Louisville was way ahead of schedule with Jeff Brom.
I mean, 10-2, you can't really be too mad about that, but tough to lose at home, yeah. Non-con game to your rival in the Governor's Cup. Like, oof, of all the ways to do it, that's a brutal one.
Tough. Oh, Austin, this game, the Iron Bowl, maybe rivaling the Kick 6 is one of the craziest games we've ever seen, is potentially the best Iron Bowl finish ever. Alabama winning 27-24, a shocking result, by the way. Alabama converts a 4th-and-goal from their 31 with 30 seconds left, running an incredible play that isolated their best wide receiver one-on-one in the corner of the end zone to win the game. Honestly, Alabama on life support. Auburn had a 99.9% chance of winning going into that final
play. Man.
And Alabama won at Auburn. Like, heartbreak doesn't quite encompass the situation.
Yeah. Bond, Isaiah Bond. What a grab in the back of the end zone. I don't know what the weirdest part about this whole thing was, that it was ever really close or that Auburn had a chance to win despite completing as a team 6 of 17 passes for amazing. 93 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions. But I'm just not sure how they did it.
It's Alabama, dude. Like, this isn't like they were playing Mississippi State. Like, this is a team playing for their playoff lives. They right. didn't overlook this. Like, they needed to win this game. And yep. it makes me question Alabama quite a bit. I do not care if it's the Iron Bowl. I don't. because serious Alabama teams don't struggle in the Iron Bowl.
Oh, we said this a while ago. I think I said this midseason where it was like, you know, it's not a typical Bama team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they only beat Arkansas by like three. But it was like no one was up in arms when they were in a dead heat with Arkansas in like week six. And like that's an indicative of a not normal Bama team. I don't know what type of chance they've got against Georgia. Like, it's Bama until it isn't Bama, but it's also Georgia until it isn't Georgia.
They so have we'll made a compelling point about being Georgia. Has Georgia until it isn't Georgia overtaken Bama until it isn't Bama? Because Georgia's kind of on a 29-game winning streak, back-to-back national champions.
Listen, next week will be the week when we know. Next week will truly – that those two forces will – go up against one another, and we will have a new, potentially crown a new champion. One name I want to throw out there, because I haven't done a ton of NFL draft Nick stuff this year. Tarrion Arnold.
Yeah.
Had two picks of Peyton Thorne in this game. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Peyton Thorne, but still. Stud. Kool-Aid McKinstry gets all the love. Tarrion Arnold might end up being.
The name helps.
For good reason. But Tarrion Arnold might end up being a first-round pick in his own right.
I know you love the pro scout, so thank you for that.
I do. I love the draft. It's almost that time of year, baby.
Washington State in the Apple Cup headed to Seattle, Washington. The Huskies pull out a 24-21 win. Washington, listen. What we saw against Michigan State was them clicking. I don't know what's happened to them.
Washington or was it Michigan?
No, because they've struggled against Arizona State. Like, they've struggled down the stretch here, so much so they have eight straight wins of 10 points or fewer. And a playoff team generally doesn't behave that way. And I've said it at the beginning of the year, got a little flack because they looked so good out the gate. But I thought this Washington team reminded me a lot of the TCU team last year. And lo and behold, they won eight straight games of 10 points or fewer. And that's exactly what TCU did last year. Eight regular season game wins of 10 points or fewer. They finished with 10 games of wins of 10 points or fewer. They lost in the conference championship. They still made the playoff. They beat Michigan because Connor Stallions wasn't able to scout them. And they lost 65-7 to an adult team, which was the most humiliating thing I've ever seen. Washington is on the path for it, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think it's a more talented version. Like, we have to give them credit. It is.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely is. Top to bottom, Washington is a much more talented team. They've got more impressive wins as well this year.
I just want them to stop struggling so much.
It's, like, well, listen, this is it, right? Like, it's very difficult to beat a team twice in a year, and they're going up against a damn good Oregon team. An Oregon team that, by the way, had a 96.6% win probability with 2 minutes and 21 seconds to go in the first meeting against Washington.
Yeah, they were right there.
They had it. Bo Nix played fantastic. They went for two a few too many times. I think that team is pissed and they're going to come in and we're going to talk about that game. But Washington, listen, if they beat, you beat Oregon again, and I don't know what anybody can really say, but yeah, there's some, maybe it's something about purple playoff teams.
I love it.
There's a little bit of fraudulence there.
keeping it moving, Florida State, as we know, without Jordan Travis, Heisman candidate quarterback, Tate Rademacher, first start at the Swamp. This one felt like Florida had all things to gain with a bowl game on the line if they won. Hey, listen, Florida State took care of business. Like, respect. They won 24-15, covered the spread. They could limp into the playoff here. Everything is in front of them. Playing a Louisville team, like, the ACC sucks, dude. Like,
yep.
It's right there for them. And they have 21 of 22 positions that are very solid. The quarterback just being the one question mark, and he managed his way through.
The committee might screw Florida State.
You can't if they win a championship.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can.
I hope so.
And they have been laying the tracks for it this past week by saying it's the four best teams.
Yeah,
not the four most deserving. And if you look at, you can make a very real argument, a very real argument that if Georgia, Michigan, Oregon,
Washington loses,
Oregon or Washington, and then
Oregon can't lose two games.
No, but saying if Oregon wins.
Oh, they're in. That's not a question.
Well, that's what I mean. And then, I mean, I suppose Florida State could be the fourth, but Texas. I think you would get people saying Texas if they were to go and beat Oklahoma State as that fourth team. Unless Florida State goes out and wins convincingly, and they might lose. I mean, Louisville clearly looking ahead, lost to Kentucky, but it'd be such a shame. It's such a shame for Florida State in general.
Dude, they're an adult program too. That's crazy that they'd get disrespected.
Yeah.
Like they've won a national championship.
I don't think they would, but well, here's the only thing though. It's like it's not like they'd be disrespected by another non-adult program. Like we're talking if the playoff is Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, Texas, like
Blue Buds. You know, Alabama. Like,
those are some big boys. Big boy programs right there. Even Washington, I mean, one of Oregon and Washington is getting in.
Sure.
So it's really a battle for who is that fourth team. And it's really kind of boiling down to potentially Bama, potentially Texas, potentially Florida State. And right now, Florida State's sitting there with a backup quarterback who's not going to come out and light the world on fire. Yeah. It gets dicey. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and like, who is their best win? And the answer is Clemson, who's 23rd. So, like, you're right about, like, who has the best.
That's LSU.
Okay. So, what is LSU?
But week one.
13th. Okay. That's a nice one. So, they have two top 25 wins. They better hold on hope that Clemson doesn't lose to South Carolina. Like, they need these things. Like, they have to have their best wins keep winning, you know?
I mean, you could even make an argument that Texas, with a loss, has a better resume.
They absolutely could make that. Yes. The champion, if they're both champions, like you said, Texas could have a better argument with one loss. So
yeah, I mean, Texas's only loss is a 4-point neutral site loss to Oklahoma.
Three in the last minute. Yeah.
And you beat Bama, you took right care of it. Yeah. The rest of their schedule is not all that impressive, but point is, I think if TV is involved, Texas is going to
brands are involved, like size of fan bases are involved. Listen, Michigan State knows all about that as it relates to the NCAA tournament. We'll get to the scenarios in a moment. Georgia went to Georgia Tech, had a dog fight. Realized like that. 31-23 win. They took their eye off the ball, man. And I think we thought this was a playoff contention or playoff clinching berth. I don't think so anymore. There's a scenario where Georgia loses and does not make the playoffs. Like, that's to me a little crazy, but that's the situation.
It's true, but I kind of have a hard time seeing it.
It could happen though. Like, it is not crazy.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy at all. It's not crazy at all because, they did have a really nice. I mean, Missouri, Ole Miss, Tennessee are all top 18 wins. Yeah.
Yep.
So
again, and losing to what would be a top four team on neutral site cannot be held against you.
Yeah, and I don't get how. I mean, I suppose you could say Texas won their conference and Bama or and Georgia didn't, but.
SEC is also better than the Big 12.
And that's just it. Like, I just don't know. I have a hard time seeing anybody beating Georgia. I guess the argument would come down to Georgia against Florida State if Florida State wins. And I think that's probably where Florida State gets in. So Florida State's really rooting for Bama.
Maybe. But like you said, they've laid the tram lines that, you know, it's the best resumes, not necessarily conference championships, which in the past was the, like, they made very clear what they were looking for. They're just cheating. It's subjective, right? It is. So.
Yeah. And I think with Bama, though, or excuse me, with Georgia in particular, like, they take their eye off the ball, but they're the type of team that, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, like, it's a great, well-balanced team that is wildly talented. So I don't know if this is the type of team. I think we'll learn a ton this weekend in terms of, like, can they really win at all? Because if they show up for the big moment against Bama, then there's no reason to think that they're not going to show up for the playoff.
This is one of those situations where you may be playing the hardest game to win the national championship and the SEC championship. Like,
definitely.
It could be the situation.
Definitely could be.
All right, let's jump to the Big Ten because there's some funny stuff that took place. Iowa takes down Nebraska 13-10. The under hits again. A 26.5 under opener. Obviously, I took it. Iowa is 10-2 with the 130 out of 130 teams offense in football. And they are in the Big Ten championship game. I am at a loss for what to say any further.
This team lost to Minnesota.
They lost to Minnesota. They lost to Penn State.
They gave up 31 points to Penn State.
You can bet money. I'm going to get to it. I don't know. Let's talk about this game. Nebraska was favored, lost another one possession game, and like Matt Rhule had things going until he didn't, because they aren't making a bowl after this.
I mean, they lost their last four games.
That's to us. Like, they didn't just lose to like good teams. Like, they fell apart.
Dude, this is one where like the coach looking fat and stupid really makes you like
all like of a sudden you notice his weight. Like, I don't know why, program. But you do.
It affects the program. Like, if you remember him in Carolina, he loves to wear, like, the smock, like, the one piece. And at least Nebraska can wear black, so it looks somewhat better. But this is when, you know, if you're coaching the Carolina Panthers, you're like, you know what? He looks fat in that light blue. It's like with Matt Patricia, you're like, Honolulu blue really makes him look terrible. What the hell are you doing with that pencil behind your ear?
You know what? And I hate that guy. Why?
Yeah. Why? Because he scored 10 points against Maryland. That's why. Yeah. This, oh, God. I mean.
10 points. Like, I get. Like, I just, this was such an upsetting game. But I continue to tell anyone, like, Iowa is appointment television this season. Like, it is the ugliest football you can imagine.
I don't know, man. I really think it's the ugliest good football. The ugliest bad football, I think, is Nebraska. I'm just going to read up a couple things real quick. Nebraska did not have a 1,000-yard passer, did not have a 500-yard rusher, did not have a receiver that had over 310 yards.
What?
They didn't have they had one player, one skill position player score 5 touchdowns, and that was Heinrich Harburg, the quarterback, and those were rushing touchdowns.
What?
He threw... Their three quarterbacks combined threw 10 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. I mean, they completed 52% of their passes. How many yards do you think three quarterbacks combined threw for across 12 games?
How many yards?
Yards.
I hope 1,200.
1,631.
Okay, that's way better than I thought, obviously.
Yeah, but do you know how bad that is? That's barely over 100 yards a game passing.
Well, what did Iowa, like, Iowa is right there, you know?
Yeah, fine. But, I mean, let's look. Let's look at Iowa. Let's do this. This is called research in real time.
Well, remember last week we said Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback that was forced to the portal because of performance, had more total yards.
Oh my God, this is actually way worse. This is way worse.
Me, dude, I know.
Yeah, Deacon Hill had 976 yards passing.
It's hard to do.
Their quarterbacks combined had 9 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. I guess the good thing is that LaShawn Williams, at least like one healthy sign of an offense, he at least had 779 yards rushing.
This is so bad. I can't. They
didn't have a receiver top 300 yards receiving on the season.
What do you think the odds are? 'Cause I know this. Right now, there's a line set at 0.5 points for Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Over is paying out plus 110. It is less likely that they will score, is what Vegas is saying, a point, than if they do.
It's hard to argue. I mean,
it is. Michigan might be the best defense or one of in the country. Like, it's
yeah.
We'll get to it. All right. Enough about this bullshit. The Big Ten West is dead. Do not celebrate it.
Rest in peace.
Indiana. Game losing job, losing at Purdue 31-33. Mm. They blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead to their arch rival, and it was the final straw for Leo. RIP, Leo.
I honestly couldn't care less.
Yep.
Like, what a stupid game.
Okay, so Northwestern. Yeah, of course. Northwestern at Illinois, 45-43. All I'll say about this, I don't want to talk about the game. If you're going to be bad, if the Big Ten West is going to be bad, do this. Like, yeah. Make it fun. Like, fun make. Bad. Yeah, dude, this is hilarious. Like, that was amazing. The box score is incredible. The game was incredible. Do that if it's going to be bad. At least make it watchable. Yeah.
Shout out David Braun, though. I mean, yeah, we were talking about Northwestern being in the bleakest situation in college football at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
With Pat Fitzgerald getting fired. Turn around and win 7 games. Like, damn. Guy deserved to get promoted.
What's their record right now?
They're 7-5.
That's not true because they haven't played their.
They're 7-5.
Oh my God, that's how bad the Big Ten West is. I'm sorry.
They were 4-5. I mean, they won their last 3 against Wisconsin, Purdue, and Illinois. I mean,
how did we not? Like, can we play them? Like, what the hell?
No, this is what you get for being in the West. It's bullshit, and I hate it. And I'm glad it's gone.
It's over.
I just wish I was the one to kill it.
Maryland at Rutgers. Maryland wins 42-24. Hey, man, shout out to you, Maryland, for showing up in November. Welcome to the party, man.
I mean, yeah. 2-1 in November. Is November Maryland a thing?
It's back. They're back.
They're back. Just, yeah, God, what a perfect Maryland season. Just truly just a perfect season.
They finished
5-0
to
start.
7-5.
7-5 record. Perfect. 5-0. Lose 4 games. Including 2 to bullshit teams you shouldn't in Illinois and Northwestern.
Yes.
2 dog shit wins in November and a weirdly competitive loss to Michigan. Like, just, I can't think of a better Maryland, like a more emblematic Maryland year. Just bravo.
Perfect year. Wisconsin at Minnesota. The Badgers win 28-14. It's too late in the cycle to fire PJ Fleck.
5-7.
We got to start having a conversation.
Like, year 7 is not good. Well, I just think talent evaluation is a big issue for PJ.
The quarterback position alone is shocking.
Well, that's just it. Eytan Kalliokmanis, who has, by the way, already entered the portal. I don't know. I'm a little confused by it personally. But
to go where? To do what?
Precisely. Like, delis don't take people out of the transfer portal. You just go work there. but I was also shocked to see that he threw for 292 yards and 3 touchdowns against Purdue.
What did he do against us? He lit us up, like, whatever.
No, lit us up to the tune of 200 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
That's a lot for him.
He went for 292 and 3. Against
it's
Purdue.
A lot for him.
Purdue is not catching nearly the flack that they should be catching this year. What a trash program.
4-8. Like, we've always thought that place sucked. Like,
no, it's true. It's very true. But like, we've been, you know, dumping on a lot of these programs. I mean, they always seem to just escape because they're irrelevant. And, you know, well, kudos.
They lost them. Jeff. Here's the thing. They lost like a good coach. And you know what they did? They made the most small SDE energy hire. Illinois' defensive coordinator, like, grow up. Grow
up. Like, have some self-respect.
Come on. Like, hey, Illinois had a good year. Their defense was good. Like, grow up. Like, find a real coordinator. I'm sorry.
But I'm with you.
Finally, Michigan takes down the Buckeyes 30-24 in the rivalry game. My eyes, the fortune favors the bold. Michigan converted 4 fourth downs. Ohio State, I don't believe, attempted a single one. That's the difference in these things, man. Like, you got to play to win, not to, you know, see who's going to make a mistake first. And
Ohio State played scared in this game time and time again. Listen, credit to Michigan. They, especially after Zach Zinter got hurt, played with momentum, with heart, you know, as much of a crock of shit as the Michigan versus everybody thing is, which it is the most contrived.
Can I ask a question, though? Can I ask a question? Sure. I get so confused. Harbaugh hits a press conference and says, we should be America's team for the adversity we've had to face, the self-inflicted adversity.
Yeah, for cheating.
Right, because they cheated. So you want to be America's team, and then simultaneously you want to be Michigan versus everybody. You don't even know, like, you're so bad at narratives that you can't even pick.
No, you're so fake, and you just lie so much. You're fake, and whatever. I mean, listen, okay, off the field, I think it's all insanity. On the field, it's still a talented team. They went out and they beat Ohio State. I can't believe I'm siding with Ohio State fans and saying that Ryan Day should probably get fired, but he plays.
Oh my God.
He plays chicken shit football, just like consistently. Like, the man's now lost, I think, 7 games in his Ohio State career, but he's 1-6 against like top 25 teams or something to that effect.
Top five.
Yeah. And listen, Ohio State has a standard. They should.
Can I just say, if you do whatever you want to do, but make sure you know who you're going to get. Because Texas A&M paid $76 million to go get Mike Elko. Like, have a plan. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, Ohio State just played scared. Michigan just didn't play scared. Ohio State made mistakes when they shouldn't have. They have this, like, you can tell that Ryan Day is all about, like, the whole neutral thinking thing, where it's like, don't get too high, don't get too low. That doesn't work. That doesn't work in these situations. Like, you have to get high, and you have to go low. Like, for a game like this that's so centered on passion and hatred, like, you have to have that. Otherwise, you've lost your edge. And I think Ohio State's lost their edge. I really do. Like, aside from the game against Georgia, which they lost, they've showed no real edge on this day.
Their best game in recent memory was a loss to Georgia.
Yeah. They've taken a step back, man. Like, listen, even though Michigan cheated to get here, which they did, it's obvious, it's true. Whatever they've won this year will be stripped away by the NCAA. I'm convinced of that because it's the only thing the NCAA is good at. Michigan plays with an edge. Like, again, credit where it's due. Like, they play like they hate Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State plays like they hate Michigan anymore. And they've lost their edge. And they played like that forever under Urban Meyer. And before then, under Jim Tressel. And instead, now you've got, I think, a program that's like kind of searching for its identity in a way. And Ryan Day is going to be lucky if he's the man to help him find it. Because, listen, I don't think you're going to let him go this offseason. I don't. But I don't think he's making it through another year if he doesn't win this game next year.
Here's the problem for them. They've had the best player at the most important or some of the most important positions and still unable to win. It's CJ Stroud. Look what he's doing. Michigan cheated. Trust me. I get it. CJ Stroud is also a stud. Awesome. Marvin Harrison, there's no cheating that can like stop just throwing him the ball. Like,
right.
And you and I are massive fans of one thing. Give the ball to the best players. Yeah. And like you said about Ohio State losing its identity, I think that's really interesting because Ohio State has forever been 3 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, trestle ball. Then they evolved into the urban era. And then now they've converted into what they thought was new age football. But in reality, what was happening in the Michigan game is they really asserted themselves in the run game on the third quarter. And they like didn't know what to do. It was like, oh, are we good at this now? Or should we throw it to Marvin? Or like, oh my God. And it obviously came down to the final possession and there was a missed field goal in there. But what's lost in all this is like Michigan put up 30 points on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like JJ McCarthy made some throws that were shockingly good. Like,
and some shockingly, he got away with a couple as well. Like, yeah. Plays that Ohio State defenders make.
Yeah, call it what you want. Like, but at the end of the day, it's a gamer play. Like was made, so it's a gamer. And like we said, if Michigan's going to win, Ohio State has to make JJ McCarthy beat you, and he did. It happened. So good for him, right? Like that. Michigan did the thing. And
Michigan, listen, dude, they played like they were, as much as I absolutely hate to say it, these last 3 years, maybe for some nefarious reasons in the previous two, better coached, better prepared, better mentally strong team. They just, because they didn't do it this year with these like wild explosive plays like they did last year, which it was just like, oh my God, bludgeoning them to death. Like, where the hell are these massive plays coming from? Again, cheated. But this year was just, they just executed better. They felt like a slightly better team. I think these are very evenly matched, to be quite honest, teams.
One knew their identity and one didn't.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Which boils down to your head coach and the program that he's got in place. And I can't blame Ohio State fans for not liking like the way this day era is trending, because again, you love beating teams, but if you don't beat the team that you set out to beat every year, that's now beating you 3 times in a row.
Yep.
Hey, let's say, you know, the road's got to end somewhere, but you're right. You better be smart in who you hire.
There's a yin and yang to that rivalry in the sense that Michigan lost so many times in a row that they were finally able to just like say, we need to just go for it, you know, like,
yeah,
let it fly, let it loose. And Ohio State, you know, just didn't. They're the ones playing tight. So maybe there's a response to that. So who knows? All right. You want to jump to the championship week here and finish?
Let's do it.
Okay. Friday, we get a couple good games to lead us in. New Mexico State and the Jerry Kill Lobos play Liberty. If you're wondering how far away an undefeated group of five team is from the college football playoff, Liberty's undefeated. And it's just not even close.
Nah. It ain't happening.
Who you got here?
I'll take Liberty, even though New Mexico State went and beat Auburn, though. So
I don't know why. I'm sorry I said Lobo. I meant Aggie. I'm an Aggie.
Either way.
Okay.
Aggies v. Flames. You know what? Screw it. I'll take the Aggies.
Yeah. I'm a Jerry Kill guy. Okay. Oregon versus Washington. And one of the crazier lines I've ever seen. Washington beat Oregon. I know it was at home, but they won. And Oregon's a 9.5-point favorite. That's a lot of points.
I think Oregon's going to win this game.
But not by.
I don't think they're going to cover. I think Oregon is the third best team in the country. So behind Michigan and Georgia. And I don't know that the margins between any of those are all that big. I think Oregon's right there. I think they know they blew this game against Washington before. They think they should be undefeated. And I think they have a very good shot at winning this game and getting that third seed.
Yep. Oklahoma, to give you an idea of how bad the new Big 12 is, Oklahoma State, 9-3, is taking on Texas in the Big 12 championship game. Easily the best remaining program outside maybe TCU in the Big 12. Oklahoma State lost to South Alabama 33-7 this year. They're in the Big 12 championship. So,
Big 12's like, everyone's
like,
good.
Oh, the Big 12 is going to be so fun. Is it? Like, have it's
well,
like
it
the,
is because it's
like
trash a, on trash. It's trash
yeah, it's
on
just
trash.
Like a graduated Sun Belt. Like, cool.
Yeah. They have a fun belt.
How do you feel about Texas 14.5?
It's a lot of points. This is Texas is either going to win by 28 or they're going to lose. I don't think there's a lot. There's a lot, not a lot of in between, but I want to like them. I really do. But it's Texas. I still can't trust. It's still Texas. I can't trust
them. They beat Alabama.
I know. It's still Texas.
All right. They got something to prove.
It isn't Texas until it is Texas. So win this game. I would love to see them win, and I would love to see them play Georgia because I think that'd be a very fun playoff game.
Absolutely. Tulane, Willie Fritz is 11-1 team, plays Southern Methodist. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that the Green Wave are going to have the best uniforms the whole weekend.
This might be the best uniform matchup we get in a very long time. These are two absolutely elite helmets, elite color schemes, about as good as it gets right here. The Mustangs, don't sleep on the Mustangs. Future ACC team, by the way.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's so weird.
The Stangs.
Louisville, Florida State. Florida State's a 3-point favorite despite not having Jordan Travis. FSU could steal a college football playoff spot and make lives very easy on whoever is the number one seed because they are not the fourth best team in the country.
I'm calling Ope game.
Oh, boy.
I'm calling Ope game. I think Louisville lost to Kentucky because they were looking ahead. They still scored 31 points.
Yeah.
I just got a feeling they come out motivated. I'm not sure. Like,
Let's go cards.
Jack Plummer's played a lot of football, maybe not all of it good, but a lot more than Tate Rodemaker. And I don't know. I just think Louisville's gonna pull this one off, and we're all gonna get our wish and get a better top four.
I like it. Finally, Michigan taking on Iowa. Michigan, a 23-point favorite in this game. The over/under opened at 35.5. Assuming Iowa would score 6 points is foolish. I would take the under because I've done it all year. Michigan very well may score more than 35 points. It's a travesty that Iowa is playing the Big Ten championship game, but as always, it's appointment television because it will be funny. What do you got here?
I don't plan to watch this game.
No, you shouldn't. You
I
know
don't think I will. It's appointment for everybody but me. Michigan's going to win this game, but I will say, here's all I'll say. Iowa has the chance to do the funniest thing possible.
It's true.
Which is to win this game have six to something stupid, and then somehow, I don't know if you can actually get Michigan out at this point, but I actually think you can.
You can.
If a couple things break the right way.
No, so, it's very simple. Like, all that has to happen is an undefeated Oregon has to win and Texas has to win. Like, Florida State has to win. And that's it. Like,
I may personally, this might be the last episode of this show because I may die of laughter.
Yeah.
Here's all I'll say. It's about a 2% chance. Iowa's defense is legitimately incredible. And their offense is legitimately.
Twice.
And that defense might be able to do it.
They have to score twice.
No, the defense has to score twice.
Has to score twice, and the offense needs a field goal. And they need to win 17-16. Like, I candidly cannot figure out how else Iowa wins.
No, I don't think there's another way. But all you need is two turnovers. I mean,
all you need is two turnovers.
I guess all I'm saying is I've seen wilder things happen.
Okay.
And I don't think it's impossible, but I think more realistically, Michigan's going to win like 59-7, which is what I would expect to happen. And like, it's not going to be worth watching.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And we can all just be sad together.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Next week, we'll dive full into basketball.
Wait, did we talk Georgia-Bama?
I'm so sorry. I forgot about the biggest game. I
thought you were saving that for the end.
I was, and then I jumped ahead. I'm sorry. Georgia, okay. 5-point favorites against Alabama. Georgia's won 29 straight, the new SEC record. Georgia still playing for their playoff lives here, which I'd have to be really pissed if I were them about that. But here they are. What do you think happens, man? Like you said, it's Georgia till it isn't, and it's Bama till it isn't, and this is the defining game.
I don't know which way to go. I think it's Georgia.
I mean, it's I literally am stuck.
We've seen more cracks in the armor for Bama than we have for Georgia, and I think the script has flipped a little bit here in that typically be the other way around, right? Like, anything before the last three seasons, it was always like you trust consistency at a high level. And that was always Bama. That floor was just a little bit higher and the ceiling was always at the same height. And I don't know though, because Jalen Milroe just makes big plays a few times every game. And he's much more dynamic than Carson Beck. Beck maybe a little bit more consistent.
Yep.
But I don't know which way to go here. I'm very excited to watch this game. I'm very, very excited about this game. This is the game. Like, what's beautiful about this slate is that we got just great football all day. But I think I'm going to go with Georgia. I don't think I would pick them to cover. I think I'd pick Bama to cover. I can't see like this being anything but a 3-point game. Just feels unreasonable. But
I think I got Georgia. Who do I want to win? I want Bama to win so they're both in the playoff. Like, I want more.
Oh, full agree.
Yeah.
I want them to be the 2-4 seeds or the 3-4 seeds or whatever it is and to
play.
I mean, again, if you're talking about the best teams, it's kind of hard not to say those are two of, if Bama wins, the 4 best teams.
I mean, like, Bama struggled this year, but like you said, I mean, they're still here. They're right there.
Yeah, but like, how annoying is that, though?
Very.
Like, impressive and annoying that a team were like, oh, man, are they really, like, actually that good? They're number 8 in the country. They're 11-1. They have one loss, and it's to the other team that were like, oh, they should be in the playoffs because they beat Bama. Like,
that's the win.
That number 7 in the country is their only loss, and they beat everybody else on the schedule, including 1, 2, 3 other ranked teams, and the rest of it's an SEC slate. Like, and if they were to beat Georgia, it's the number 1 team in the country. It's just, it's, I think as we wrap here, trying to absorb how successful Bama has been is insane, because their standards are making us think that this 11-1 team with a chance to win the SEC and a one loss to a top 10 team is like somehow not their standard.
There is a conversation we had about Nick Saban's legacy is not changed, but certainly a footnote will be that he was unseated before his career.
He was phased out. He was usurped by his old guy. Yeah.
You're 100% right. Like, that is a massive thing to consider here. It's like, this is Saban knows that. He knows that. This is it. This is it for him. Like,
this is kind of the last shot. I mean, not the last shot, because I'm sure Bama will be great again last year, but this is the one to kind of make it be like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm still here.
Exactly. Exciting.
All right. Well, John, I think that does it.
That's right.
All right, guys, enjoy the football. cherish it, because as bad as it was this year for MSU, it's going to be a while till we get a lot more. So enjoy it. All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. For John, this has been Austin. We'll catch you next week.
See you.